Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. And before we get any further into today's program here in Connecting Faith, Ted, just want to say a big thank you once again to all our
friends. Yes, well, to me. I'm sorry.
No, that goes without saying.
Yeah, right.
I suppose your love language is say a kind word once in a while.
You know, we are so grateful, though. What a great couple of days we had here.
Yeah, right? Our winter share is completed and a tremendous response, and it's just so encouraging to see people that give generously. Give sacrificially and give abundantly. I mean, it was a wonderful couple of days. So thank you for your gifts.
Absolutely. I'm always amazed. And if you didn't have a chance to, you can still go ahead online at myfaithradio.com safely and securely. Click on the donate tab or call the number.
Sure. We're talking today about giving, but, you know, we're going to focus on Faith Radio, but we want to just talk about how do we decide what to give to and how to give, because charitable giving is should be a part of our life experience as Christ followers, certainly, because we are stewards. Mm-hmm. And so we have an opportunity to really have an impact, make a difference, and we're going to find out about that today. And then talk a little bit about estate plans and all those things, because we're coming up to the end of the year pretty quick, aren't we? You're counting down?
That's right. Yeah. What, 10 days to Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. All right. So, end of the year, then just right around the corner. So if there's some year-end things that need to get done, then we need to be talking about it. And we always love having our guests with us that come by every quarter or so. We bring them by. Kirby Stalls, Assistant Vice President and Senior Director for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern. And he's Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein is President, Financial Advisor for Advanced Retirement Resources. And he's the securities and advisory services are offered through Cetera Advisor Networks, which that's, I guess, important legal information that I have to say at the beginning of the conversation. But Paul and Kirby, welcome. And Kirby will say hello.
Yes. Hello, Neil.
And
Merry
Paul,
Christmas.
Thank you. So, Paul, tell me a bit about,
what
that meant. Yeah. Cetera Advisory Network. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're what's called a hybrid advisor, where we maintain our brokerage licenses to buy or sell a security and also insurance licenses. So we can help clients with those things. But most of our work we do on a fee basis, where we're working as an investment advisor, registered investment advisor. So there's just a lot of hats that people wear, and we wear a number of hats, but I don't know how much listeners catch this, but there's quite a bit of talk with changing regulations in the investment world, and the Department of Labor is passing some laws or putting them into place now where to try to hold all advisors so there's more transparency and more disclosure, and that's always good. However, an advisor is paid is to be a good consumer, know what the costs are and what's being provided, and be aware of potential conflicts of interest. And so my compliance department just said you had to read that.
Yeah. Well, happy to do it. And I think that is one of the questions that we often get is, right, how do we know how do we find a good advisor or know that we're getting quality advice, and can we, are they accountable for the advice they give?
Well, there are different levels of accountability. If someone is, and that's a good question to ask, and the question nowadays is to ask any advisor if they are a fiduciary, if they work as a fiduciary, and what that means is they're held to a higher standard to basically make every effort to provide the best advice possible, make the best recommendations. That's the level of care that they're held to. If many advisors are still held to a suitability standard, where it might not be the best recommendation, but as long as it's suitable, you wouldn't want to recommend a real high risk tech stock or something to a 90-year-old or an annuity maybe that's long term to someone older. But so it has to be suitable, but it could be not the best in recommendation. So just really to. There's a lot of good advisors out there that work in both arenas, mm-hmm. And sadly, there are maybe too many that aren't good. Yeah. But you know, to be a good consumer is just to be clear, to know what somebody is doing, what potential conflicts of interest they are, and ask good questions.
Yeah. I usually come from the relationship side of things to say that, you know, you need to find someone who fits your goals, your aspirations, even your faith outlook, and to find an advisor who has both the qualifications, the licenses, that fiduciary responsibility, and who can then identify with how to help you best to achieve your goals.
Say just a word about the Northwestern Foundation. I mean, we love having you guys on a regular basis, but, you know, it's you're new to to some folks, and so what's the foundation all about?
Yeah, well, the Northwestern Foundation was established back in the mid-90s to help out those people who are making more complex gifts or gifts other than cash to the university or to the radio stations. But shortly after starting, we realized that there were a lot of services that we could provide that, frankly, I don't need to have all those licenses and disclaimers because I provide a lot of, I would say it's not advice, but it's ideas. And then I usually say, now, take that and talk to your financial advisor, talk to your tax advisor and your attorney. But we really look at ourselves as a relationship expert in the Twin Cities community and beyond through our Faith Radio network to be able to help people who are considering charitable giving and how they might be able to do it in the best possible way.
Yeah, and what Kirby and his team brings to the table is, you know, they're trustworthy and they have integrity and they can be objective. And so they've helped clients of ours with planned gifts. And they just so sometimes people don't, you know, they're harmed by not getting advice, you know, because they're too scared of getting bad advice, you know. But, you know, no advice is better than bad advice, but usually good advice is better than no advice. So where they can go, but like Kirby and his team, when it comes to giving, even if somebody just is trying to know more, and maybe want to make gifts to their church, you know, and other great charities, you know, Kirby's team can be very helpful, and maybe not giving advice, but giving direction.
And Northwestern Foundation really serves as a one-stop shop, especially for people who want to benefit their church, other ministries, but want to do it through one entity. Maybe they want to do it anonymously, or maybe they want to use a tool like a donor advised fund or a trust or a gift annuity. And we're that kind of an organization that can do that.
And sometimes when there's many charities that someone wants to remember, like in their estate planning, and we've had clients where Kirby has helped our clients aggregate their charitable giving. So it might be, it can be messy when you're dealing with an estate where there's 10, 15 charities, you know, that's not an easy thing to get all that taken care of. And that's where, the Northwestern Foundation can be helpful also.
So you can check those, check out the Northwestern Foundation, UNWSP,
.edu.
Yeah,
we run everything from our foundation. Really, is connected to our university. Yeah. I wear a lot of hats as well as Paul.
Okay, and you look good in a hat, so it really works out well. So
no, I don't.
All right, and the Christmas scarf is especially lovely today. But all right, so you talk about charitable giving, and I wanted to get your perspective on that. Maybe just personally, both you guys. I know that this is something that is near and dear to you, not only just as part of your vocation, but personally. So what kind of guidelines do you use for determining who, when, and how much in terms of making charitable gifts?
Sure. Well, I am a giver. I love to give and give and give. And sometimes it's money, sometimes it's time, or my talents that I've been given. But even last night, as my wife and I have this annual tradition of blessing one particular ministry with an honorary gift, we like to honor grandparents and parents and teachers and the like. And so we were making our list of who we are going to honor by this gift to this one ministry. And my wife says, how much should we give? And my answer is always as much as possible. And so I just think there are so many organizations that need so much. And I have so much, really. And so usually that's my litmus test of saying, boy, we've been blessed with a lot. Let's see how much we can give away. And so, you know, we give a lot to our local church, but we also have maybe two or three special ministries that we try to give a substantial amount to, and then see where it goes from there.
I think Kirby's comments flow out of his heart. So, you know, I think it's real easy to have, you know, some real specific guidelines, you know, give this percent, give, you know, if you're over this amount, give this much. And, You know, and that can be real simple, but I think the general advice I try to give to myself and also give to clients is the more modestly I live, the more generously I can give. And that applies to those that have modest means and those that are ultra affluent. The more I moderate my desires and my wants for things and what I do, then the more generously I can give. So, but really to make that work, it's got to be a work in my heart. So I guess to pray that I covet less, that I want things less and that I want the Lord more, that I want to, you know, to obey is better than sacrifice, you know, so it comes down to praying that I can grow to have a generous heart. So like what Kirby was just expressing, yeah, that I find joy in giving, mm-hmm, you know, that, yep, I can, to help, to make significant contributions, or even if I have very modest means, if they're significant for me, mm-hmm, what God does in my heart, and then to see that work for kingdom purposes is, you won't regret that.
Yeah, and I tend to think that, at least for me, giving is not a casual act. Mm-hmm. It's a very intentional act. And we tend to give to places where we believe in their mission. We believe in the impact that they're having for the kingdom. And we believe in the people running those organizations. So it's all about that.
Yeah, I've heard it said, and I've repeated this many times, you know, it's easy to give. It's harder to give wisely. You know, so especially this time of year when you get so many solicitations, you know, I mean, and many of them are good, you know, most of them are probably good, you know, serve some good purpose. But as Kirby mentioned there, to be real careful in your giving. So you're giving to charities that you know, and just like you can't do everything in life. You can't, you know, you can't give to everything. You can't read everything, you know, so, you know, praying for wisdom and being intentional and careful in the ministries that you do give to, and giving more to fewer ministries oftentimes is much better stewardship. And also then you're making a greater impact on those ministries that you have the strongest conviction for what they're doing.
Let's take a little break and come back, and we'll talk more about maybe some specific ways that we can give wisely. We'll get into, you know, year-end giving and, you know, is it better to give cash, or if you want to give something other than cash, what does that look like? And we're going to get into estate planning and all those things as well. Would love to include you in the conversation because you might have a specific question about maybe estate plans, charitable giving, you know, trusts, all those kinds of things. And, you know, we've got guys here that actually know all about that and are ready to give some answers. Paul Stein is president and financial advisor with Advanced Retirement Resources. Kirby Stahl is the vice president of the Northwestern Foundation. They're in studio today, and our phone lines are open at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you want to send a question or a comment via email, if you go to the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, you can use the email tab there and just submit your question. It'll come right to the studio, myfaithradio.com. Go to Connecting Faith, and we'll talk more with Kirby and Paul in a moment. Well, Merry Christmas to you from all of us here at Faith Radio. So glad to have you tuned in today to Connecting Faith. And we've connected again with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. They come in studio every, few months or so. We just like to spend some time talking estate planning, charitable giving, all those things. And I know you may think, well, this really doesn't apply to me, but I think it really, there's something that all of us can do, regardless of our age or stage, to take a step forward in planning. So we want to be talking about that today. And we invite your calls, too. You can join in the conversation. Kirby is Assistant Vice President for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern and serves as the Vice President of the Foundation, Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein's President, Advanced Retirement Resources, a financial advisor there with lots of years' experience. And we'll be taking your calls and questions as we go along. I want to talk, though, when we come to charitable giving and maybe you know, year-end giving. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk in Washington about the tax reform, and it looks like that is, you know, moving out of committee. So things are going to change there. How big a impact does taxes, the tax implication, have on our giving decisions?
Well, based on our current tax law, you know, there are tax benefits from giving. And so that can be, you can look at that two ways. One is it can, you know, serve me better, but then it also can allow me to give more. So if I do something in a more tax-wise way, then the net cost of my gift is less for the amount of gift that I made. and a lot of times people look at, I'm asked, well, why at the year end? Why is that such a big deal? And for some people, you know, they have a better idea of where they're going to be coming out. You know, if they are a business owner, or if their income fluctuates, you know, some people that have a fixed salary, December is no different than January. But for a lot of people, by year end, they kind of get a better idea of where they're going to be at. And I think people don't have to be tax experts, but to understand the tax benefits of charitable gifts, it is important to know to have some understanding of what your marginal tax bracket is. And because what you want to watch for is you want to make your gifts when you're in a higher tax bracket, marginal tax bracket, because then you get, then your gift costs you less because you save more taxes. And if you're in low income years, then there's less tax benefit. So that's why you want to kind of look at that and be mindful of where you're falling. So you mentioned about the tax proposals that look like they might actually be signed into law. And for what's being talked about is if most people are going to be in a slightly lower tax bracket next year and following, that means that actually making some charitable gifts this year, you get a greater tax benefit than if you wait till next year.
I also think that, you know, just thinking about the seasons, we just passed through Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming. This is the season of giving. And so I would say from the charitable giving standpoint, whether it's the university or the radio stations or other ministries, December or that late November time period is really the time when people ramp up their giving. And so maybe they have been supporting throughout the year, but they have some extra resources. Or in the case of a phone call I received last week, there was an inheritance. And the natural response to that was to give some of that away. And so I think that happens around this time of the year.
I'm interested to know what kinds of calls are you getting in your office these days?
Yeah,
what
is
people
interesting.
Asking?
I would say, too, Neil, to your point of giving cash or giving something else, I think sometimes cash is easiest, or you know what's in your bank account, or you have a credit card, you can make a gift pretty much on the spot and not have to think about it. But there are those who have, again, received an inheritance, or maybe they have extra reasons to think about giving something like a piece of property or a gift of some appreciated stock that they have in their account. And they actually look at their total picture, not just what's sitting in their bank account. And so in the case of some people, again, New Year's is rolling around. What do we always do? We make resolutions. Or December is here. We make special gifts. And so I've actually received calls regarding estates that have been realized. They've received an inheritance. A gentleman called me last week saying, I have an extra house that I've used as a rental, but I don't want to be in that business anymore. Could I give that house? And I say, yes, absolutely. We'll work with people on very complex gifts.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe a lot of our listeners don't have an extra house sitting around, but that might be unique. But good example. But the market has been done quite well, you know, the stock market, both in the U.S., outside of the U.S. So not only looking at the calendar year and the potential of making gifts before the end of the year, but another thing is to look at, to be mindful of the value of assets that fluctuate in value and to make gifts when they're up in value. So gifting an asset that's appreciated, then you don't end up paying the tax on the gain. But if you sold it first and then gave cash, then you pay tax on the capital gains. If you give the appreciated asset or a portion of it, then you can then you don't pay the tax and you still get the deduction for the full amount, and the charity receives the full amount.
I think there's another thing too with people are who are in the position of being over the age of 70 and a half. They have this IRA, this individual retirement account. They need to take their RMD, their required minimum distribution. Well, if you don't need that money for your living expenses, I find a lot of people calling in these days to saying, I'd like to give my RMD to charity. And they can transfer it right out of their account to the charity of their choice, tax-free. So they don't pay the taxes on it. The charity certainly doesn't pay the taxes on it. And so that's something that we're seeing quite a bit of lately, too.
Sure, because otherwise, if they took it out, then they'd pay taxes on it, and then you know the value of the gift isn't nearly as much.
Yep, yep.
Well, and here's where there's a subtle benefit potentially to that is the amount of other income that you have determines how much of your Social Security benefits you pay tax on. And if they are taking that required minimum distribution as they and each year they get older, the percentage that they have to take out goes up. Whether they need the income or not, the IRS is saying, yep, this is a retirement account and you got to take it out during your lifetime. And the life expectancy tables they use are quite liberal, but the percentage is going up each year. So by like the time you're 90, you'd take out about 10%. When you're 70, it's about 4%, slightly less. But if you take that required minimum out, and even though you didn't need it, and then that's taxable income, and then you turn around and give it, you do get a deduction on your Schedule A for that. But what a lot of times people aren't mindful of, if they would have given it, taken advantage of giving it directly out of their IRA, it wouldn't show up on their tax return, and sometimes that can actually reduce the amount of tax they pay on their Social Security benefits.
Because your Social Security benefits aren't going up, so that. Right? That margin is just increasing all the time.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, we're not going up a lot anyways.
Yeah, right.
Now. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question today talking about charitable giving or estate planning, some of those things, there's, trying to help you make the best use of the resources that God has entrusted you with. And we have the phone lines open for you to join in the conversation today at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if you wanted to submit a question or comment online, you can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page and use the email link there to connect with us. Paul Stein is the president and financial advisor of Advanced Retirement Resources. He's a certified financial planner. He got some 30 years of experience in that area, helping individuals work toward their ultimate financial goals through highly personalized financial planning and wealth management. Kirby Stahl serves as Assistant Vice President for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern, Vice President with the Northwestern Foundation. And we're taking your calls today at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. I want to get into things like some estate planning and what about gifting to children? Talk about limits and the benefits and what to consider. And maybe you have that question as well or something like it. You're welcome to join us in the moments ahead as we continue on Connecting Faith. That wasn't on my list. I don't know, Kirby. I mean, your kids? Any of your kids looking? Is that the one?
Not a hippopotamus.
No. On the list. So, all right, good to know. Right, we're talking about charitable giving, maybe not so much about getting. Although we've been talking about there are tax advantages for being wise in how we distribute assets. Kirby Stahl is helping us with that, Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein, President of Advanced Retirement Resources. Paul and Kirby come by every few months or so, and we talk estate planning and some of those things, charitable giving. Thought we should touch, because we're coming to the end of the year, and Kirby, as you mentioned, you know, it is the giving season, at least we're more mindful of that. If we have appreciated assets, we kind of need to get going on something like that too, right?
Yeah, I would say that if you want to give something other than cash to your church, local ministry, charity, you really should start making those phone calls today. It is the 14th, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes gifts of stock sometimes can happen within a day, but most times take 3 to 5 business days to transfer from your account to the charity's account. Again, to be able to bypass those capital gains, I would say if we're talking about anything else other than cash, that we need to be thinking right now about those types of things. But even with cash, December 31st is the day, and as long as your check is postmarked on that day, it should be just fine. Credit card gifts and the like, too.
And the time is short here, but, you know, the market is still, you know, had tremendous gains,
yeah.
You know, so many people have gains in stocks and taxable accounts. Unless you're over 70 and a half, it doesn't apply to retirement accounts.
Okay.
But, you know, even into January, I mean, the door doesn't close. The door closes for this tax year, December 31st. But, you know, if you don't have time and you want to be wise, you don't want to jump into it. But if you have appreciated assets, I mean, it's just as meaningful. In January, it'll just come on next tax year. But if you have appreciated assets, it's still a wonderful way to benefit the charities that are meaningful to you.
I want to talk a little bit about maybe gifting to children, and if that's something that there are benefits to or limits, and maybe what to consider.
Well, I was just reading a book by James Dobson, Your Legacy, which is a great book about his legacy and about, not just financial legacy, but your spiritual legacy to your kids. And in the final chapter, the deeper meaning of legacy, you know, he talks about how it's, at the end of the day, money's not going to matter. It's not the money and the things that you leave behind. That's not the most important thing. It's those intangible things. It's that legacy of faith, you know, directing your kids to the good news of the gospel and that they're loving and following the Lord. But he does caution about leaving too much to children. And it's not that it is a bad thing, but to be done carefully and wisely, because too much too soon when people are, not adequately prepared, you know, too much money can be detrimental to someone's productive life. And so to be careful when you're making gifts to children.
Yeah, and I would just say, too, that I've been in situations where in a past career, financial advisory, we would have clients come in and they would have substantial enough assets that we would encourage them to give away their money now, again, to keep your estate value down. That doesn't particularly apply across the board, but we want to make sure, again, that you're talking with your financial advisor or your tax accountant to say, is there an advantage to give of my assets today to my family rather than waiting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as Kirby mentioned, you know, because he's old enough now. He just told me how old he was earlier. But, you know, that was back when the amount you could pass, estate tax-free was probably at $600,000. You know, and if you did some simple estate planning, you could pass $1.2 million without paying federal estate taxes. You know, state Minnesota was the same. You know, but now with the new proposed tax legislation, the talk is to double the exemption equivalent from $5.4 million, so it'd be over $10 million before you're paying federal estate tax, which eliminates that problem for lots of people. You know, and then the state is currently at $2 million in Minnesota, and the tax rates inheritance or the estate tax rates in Minnesota are much less than the federal. But that affects a lot of smaller people as far as that being a significant planning consideration.
We're going to take a call in a minute, but I just want to ask you, because you talked about legacy, that's really why we need to talk about estate planning, right? I mean, that's kind of at the heart of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say a lot of times when we hear the word legacy, we're thinking, do I even have one to leave? And my hope and prayer is that everyone takes into account their faith journey and how to continue to pass that along to those who come after them, whether it's children or loved ones. But a lot of times, too, that is the assets that God has entrusted to us. How do we use those or how do we pass those along when we're no longer here?
Mm-hmm. And to do that wisely, and so that if we don't make a plan, what the state will have a plan for us, I guess, right? Is that?
Our spiritual growth. It's not natural to grow spiritually. You need to be intentional about it. Yeah. To stay healthy, you need to be intentional about it. And the same way with how you spend your money in your lifetime, how you leave your estate. The most important thing is to be intentional and be proactive, and because it's not just going to happen. If you don't do anything, you're probably not going to get the result that you would have wanted to have.
And we'll talk more in the moments ahead about what some specific things are that we should do and could even do today or by the end of the year. I want to take a phone call first and go to Eric on line one, calling 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Eric, you're on with Paul and Kirby. Go ahead with your question.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm just asking about a general question about trusts and what are their advantages and drawbacks. My grandfather, when he died, he had a trust set up, and then with medical expenses and stuff like that, our assets are very largely depleted and that stuff now. And I'm just wondering if it's worth it for me to set up a trust.
All right. Give us some general rules there or principles.
Yeah. There are a lot of different types of trusts, but it can be used for different purposes. It's just a separate entity that you can put assets into. And living trusts are ones that you create during your lifetime. And the purpose would be to accommodate the management of those assets while you're still living, maybe you and your spouse. And then if you have diminished capacities to, then a contingent trustee can step in and help out while you're living. And then it can also then continue after you die to benefit someone else to manage assets for those, to provide income, maybe for children. And then it takes care of the ultimate distribution of those assets, where they ultimately go, at some point. So a benefit is it provides for that control and that management, and that continuity of that to have somebody take care of it. You can take care of it while you're still living. And then it can also avoid probate. Because it takes care of the distribution. There's not some hard, fast rules, to determine if something, if that's beneficial or not. Some attorneys are just like doctors, some are quicker to do surgery. Others are a little bit more hesitant. Maybe use other things. So some attorneys are a little quicker to use that for people. There are some, red flags that probably, make it definitely more beneficial. Like if you have real estate in two states, like if you have a cabin in Wisconsin, or if you have a summer, a winter home down in Florida or Arizona, that would require probate in each of those states, which becomes more complicated, especially Florida, because there that tends to be long and slow. So that would be a reason, not just your liquid assets, but what real estate you hold. If you have, that would be a reason to have a trust. Could go on and on.
Sure.
I was just going to say too that trusts again provide privacy, whereas yes. The will is a public document, and so if there are things that you want to transfer into that trust, so that. Maybe other family members or others don't need to be privy of all that information. And then the other thing, too, is the perspective of how long do you think you have before you would need to use those trust assets? How much do you want to protect so that there aren't other organizations or entities like nursing home that would come after assets? So, again, there are a lot of details. I would, again, suggest you're talking with your attorney, your tax advisor, your financial advisor, to see if a trust works for you.
Yeah, as much as I'd like to help Eric with the specifics, there's so many things to consider that it's hard to cover in a couple of minutes.
But I think those are some good general rules. And again, that getting your wise financial advice counsel from your attorney or your financial planner are going to make a big difference in that. Let's take Bob's question first before the break. Bob's calling in from Madison. Again, our phone number is 877-933-2484. Paul Stein's president of financial, financial advisor at Advanced Retirement Resources, and Kirby Stahl is the vice president of the Northwestern Foundation. And we're taking your calls today as we talk estate planning and such. Bob, go ahead. You're on with Kirby and Paul.
Thank you. Great show. I just have a quick question about, is there a limit as to how much medical expense you can deduct in a certain year?
I don't know.
Yep. On your Schedule A, there's a floor that's a percentage of your adjusted gross income. So it'd be it's the bottom line on your first page of your 1040. That kind of adds up all your income less some exemptions or exclusions. I mean, some exclusions there, and then it's a, so if you're under 65. You can only deduct the amount that's over 10% of your adjusted gross income, and then if you're over 65, the floor is 7.5%. So if you have $100,000 of adjusted gross income, you would only be able to deduct expenses if you're under 65, you know, over 10, that exceed 10,000. So a lot of people are unable to deduct expenses, but once they turn 65, more people are, because their income is less and some of their expenses are higher.
Sure.
Including long-term care premiums and so forth.
Yeah. And which is, and that gets very expensive as we get into long-term care. All right, let's take a quick break. And thank you, Bob, for that question. And we're going to come back. If you have a question, talking today about charitable giving, about trusts, estate planning, we'll even get into, talk a little bit about annuities, some of those things as well in the moments ahead. Thank you for joining us today on Connecting Faith. Kirby Stahl is Assistant Vice President for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul and Vice President for the Northwestern Foundation. Paul Stein is a Certified Financial Planner and Founder and President of Advanced Retirement Resources, joining us today on Connecting Faith. Our phone number is 877-933-2484. Happy to take your questions in the next 15 minutes or so. Or you can submit them online if you go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. Use the email link there, and we'll get to your thoughts and questions coming up in just a moment. Today with Kirby Stahl and Paul Stein. Kirby is Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation and Assistant Vice President for Advancement Services at the University of Northwestern. Paul Stein is Certified Financial Planner and Founder and President of Advanced Retirement Resources. And both Paul and Kirby join us on a semi-regular basis. We talk about charitable giving, estate planning, some of those things. One of the areas that maybe we could talk about, I want to get into a bit about estate plans and some of the basics, but annuities, maybe gift annuities here. We're talking about appreciated assets. What are gift annuities?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of times people might be wondering if they could give away this stock because maybe they think they will need the income, or maybe they will think they will need the principal later on, and they're just not sure if they can part with it today. There is a tool out there called a charitable gift annuity, and it's an arrangement where you make an irrevocable gift to a charity, and they promise to pay you a guaranteed fixed income for the rest of your life. So maybe you've heard of commercial annuities or other types of retirement plans, or maybe you have a CD sitting at a bank earning a very minimal percentage. Gift annuities are a way for you to receive a higher income based on your age. And then also there's a charitable aspect to it. So whatever's left when you pass on would go to that charity. Okay. And our foundation offers that. A lot of charities or community foundations offer those as well.
Yeah, and it's a real simple way to either an asset that's not producing much income, or even ideally an appreciated asset that's not producing much income, and then still make a charitable gift. The other thing is with business owners, or you have a significant event where in the year that you're making this gift, you know, that's when the tax benefits of making the gift are the greatest. But let's say you want to have income for an extended period of time, and then you want to maybe make gifts over an extended period of time. Kirby can comment on maybe a charitable remainder trust. That's another way to provide income, and still, if you're charitable, and get a deduction in the year where it's the most tax beneficial. There are also donor advised funds where you can make the charitable gift and get the tax benefit in the year where it's most beneficial to you, and then spread out the giving over in the future.
Yeah, I'll give a little teaser. Our foundation plans on doing a postcard series January through May, and our theme is a puzzle. And I would say that these are all pieces to a puzzle. And maybe a gift annuity is right for you, but maybe a donor-advised fund would serve you better, or a charitable trust. And it really depends on your specific situation. And again, the type of assets, how connected you are with your advisors, how simple or how complex, how involved or not involved. It's a gigantic puzzle.
You can go to unwsp.edu and get the link to the foundation there just to find out more. Before we get to another call, I want to just make sure we talk about estate planning. Is there one, two, or three things that everyone sort of must do or could do or should do to have their plan started or advanced?
Well, there's a few things that you'd want to have in your toolbox, so to speak. Everybody thinks of your will, and that is an important document to have. But a couple documents that a lot of people do overlook is your health care directive and a power of attorney. And those are equally important, and they come into play if you haven't died but you're still living. And the power of attorney is for financial things. Who would take care of financial matters if you can't, if you've been incapacitated? It's real simple to do that. And then the other thing is the health care directive. And that's probably the hardest thing, because that comes into, if you're in a diminished capacity, to what extent do you want to be kept alive? What would be your wishes for care and so forth? And that's a hard one, but much more important for you to think through that. There are different ways to do that. You can go to your doctor, your hospitals. There's not a standard format for that. An organization that has some very helpful resources with that is agingwithdignity.org, agingwithdignity.org. And they have a document called Five Wishes, and it's a thoughtful way to help you think through that. And even if you bring that to your attorney, it can help you prepare for meeting with your attorney. So it doesn't replace your legal advice, but it can be very helpful even or before you go to see your doctor. The power of attorney is usually state specific. So each state usually has a statutory form that most attorneys use, so they don't have to draft powers of attorney from, you don't have so many different formats, and attorneys don't have to create it from scratch. And so that's a real simple form. So like in Minnesota, you can download it from the Secretary of State website. You can find it on the internet. You don't have to pay for that. And then at least you can see what the document includes. That can educate you when you go see your attorney, or that's something really easy you can even do yourself, but you got to be careful.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of times that I experience people who either are married with no children, or maybe their spouse passed away, and they really need a trusted advisor. They want to know and answer the question, who is it that I should name to be my personal representative, my power of attorney, the person to oversee this, to carry out my wishes? And I would say that has to take into consideration a lot of thought and discussion, and it's not always easy. And it might not always be the oldest child. It might not always be someone you would think of. You need to find the person who really is going to honor your wishes and help you through when you're no longer around.
Let's go to line one. Here we go. Line one. A listener, anonymous, she'd like to remain anonymous, but has a question for us. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I have been married about 34 years, no children, children from a previous marriage. I was wondering about a will. My husband and I, we don't see quite the same. Would it be best to have a will for me and a will for him?
All right. Good question. Thank you.
Yeah. And wills are an individual document. So that's a good question and a common misunderstanding that so if you're married or your husband, you each person has a will, so that specifies what's going to happen when you die, and so and they don't have to match each other. Each spouse can draft it differently if they have different thoughts. That can be done separately.
I was just going to mention too that in the case of blended families, you might have different ideas of how to provide for children, or if you don't have children in this case. So you'll want to discuss and think about that. But again, as Paul said, these are individual documents. They can say completely different things as you go forward.
Yeah, she said she had two children from previous marriage, so that's, you know, it's always an added challenge, I guess, isn't it?
Yep. So that's a situation where it's more important even to have a will, because if you don't have a will, the probate laws, you know, the intestate laws might not direct assets where you wanted them, especially if they have different opinions. So the other thing to not overlook is the importance of beneficiaries, because unless you name your estate on the beneficiary line, what you say in your will will have no jurisdiction over what your beneficiaries say. So, and a lot of people, a big part of their net worth are retirement plans and life insurance policies where they've named some beneficiaries. So they might do things in their will and they think they got everything covered, but anything that where they've named a beneficiary is going to flow outside of that. So you got to be really, really careful about what your beneficiaries say, and if you go in and have some estate planning done, that's coordinated. And just like people do rehearsals, do a rehearsal and just say, okay, if I got hit by a bus next month, have somebody help you with where's everything going to go, and based on how it's titled, beneficiaries, what your will says, and make sure that's where you want it. And if it's not where you want it, then you can change it.
Seems like that would be maybe one good step that we could take here before the end of the year anytime, just to review our documents in terms of beneficiaries.
Yep, and do a dress rehearsal. That'd be an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Have somebody help you with it.
All right. Shirley in Minneapolis had called and just wanted to discuss the importance of power of attorney. I think we touched on it a little bit, but I don't know if there's anything more we need to add in the final minute or so we have.
Again, just that make sure it's effective, make sure it's carrying out. It's written in a way to carry out your wishes and that the person you name actually knows that they're going to be the one to honor this should you not be able to take care of your financial wishes or your medical wishes.
Yeah.
Another thing I would encourage listeners is sometimes we think of powers of attorney, you know, like with aging parents as people are getting older because they're more vulnerable. I would encourage people with children, you know, once they turn 18, your children, anybody that's a legal adult should have a power of attorney and a health care directive. That applies to every age. We've had clients where children in their 20s, you know, were in a car accident or had a stroke, and those documents are incredibly helpful when something happens.
Those are things that we don't need to wait for the new year. We can take care of those, get going on that right now.
So we've covered a lot of things. So sometimes, you know, it's kind of overwhelming, like where do you start? And you mentioned on the break there's some things that you need to do, Neil,
that
you haven't gotten done yet. And we've all got a to-do list. But I would encourage people to just, you know, don't be overwhelmed. You know, have a short list and then just have a short time frame. So I was reading a book on business planning that talked about living in a 90-day world, you know. And so I would encourage listeners just what are one or two things that you want to try to get done, like in the next 90 days? And then try to chip away at it.
All right. We've got some good encouragement today. Thanks to Paul Stein, President of Advanced Retirement Resources, and Kirby Stahl, Vice President of the Northwestern Foundation. Guys, I always appreciate you coming by and giving wise advice and just encouraging us to keep moving forward.
Great. Always a pleasure to be here, Neil. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Neil. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Check out more about the Northwestern Foundation at unwsp.edu. If you missed part of today's show, you might want to listen to it again, or maybe this is something you want to pass on to a friend and get some more financial advice. You can always go to our website, the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com, and then click on Connecting Faith. And thank you again for your generous support of Faith Radio during our winter share. Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support, and you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.